Really, Saturday evening is for everybody is very booked, right? All the week we are making plans there. On Saturday evening we will do this, we will do this, we will do that. But all of you have come and you are spending your precious time here. So thank you very much. And I also want to thank the organizers of the Chetna Festival to give me this opportunity to speak and just share with you some of my thoughts. So the today's topic chosen is pursuit of happiness. So is it relevant topic? You feel it's relevant topic? Yes or no? Yes. So today we are going to actually introspect ourselves, not just more of giving lecture and just giving more and more information, but we are going to try to look into our hearts. So we are going to ask this question, which has come to our mind and heart many times, that it occurs to everybody. Why can't we be happy always? Right? There are some moments of happiness in our life and then suddenly something comes and it just goes. We feel that yesterday I was just enjoying my birthday party so much. Everybody was there, my relatives, my close relatives, my close friends, and everybody was there and we were enjoying so much. And after a few days, suddenly you feel that friend has betrayed me. And, that friend has left me, insulted me so much. This experience everybody goes through, right? And then same friend who was source of your happiness becomes source of your misery, isn't it? So we all feel that why it can't be just always like that we are always enjoying, why it can't be always that we are always happy, But what is the nature of the material world? That always there will be some happiness, some distress will be there. Whenever these moments of happiness are there, Jesus go like this, fast. We don't even realize, it just goes. And suddenly some unhappy situation we land up into, and then we feel that this time is just not going. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Matra Spashantu Konteya Sitoshna Sukha Dukhada, that this appearance and disappearance of happiness and distress, they are non-permanent. They are not always. Sometimes pleasure will be there, sometimes pain will be there. And it is like changes of the season, how the winter summer season comes, and in India monsoon also comes. It comes regularly and goes. So like that, this happiness and distress, it keeps coming in our life. One after another. It is not permanent, both are temporary. And we feel that it's like two sides of a coin, head and tail. So in this material world, these two are there. If you are not happy, you are in pain, like that. So if somebody asks anybody a question that are you happy, and if that person is honest, then he will think that am I really happy? So he will say no, but many times we just for the sake of saying, everything is fine, But if the person is really intelligent and he thinks that is it that really I am happy, then he will really say the truth that I am not happy, I have so many problems in his life, And small problems, it starts with the local trains. How many people travel in local trains? Many people. So as soon as you get in, you are thinking, oh God, again that rush and again peak hours, and you are just waiting to go out. And even inside the local train, what happens? So many people discussing their problems, right from the different age group of people, Those who are housewives, they will talk something of their problems. Collegians will talk of their students, their professors, how the professors are not proper and this and that. Everybody is a problem. But is that the real problem in our life? We have to think. It is said that for a problem to be called a real problem, three things should be there. It should be common to all, and nobody wants it. It should be like that. And simultaneously, nobody can avoid it also. If three criteria are fulfilled by your problem, then it is real problem, So our daily problems are petty problems. So what is the real problem in life? So everybody who takes birth becomes old. Everybody goes through some disease in life, and ultimately we have to die. This problem, anywhere in any part of the world you go, it is common to everyone. And nobody wants it. Nobody wants old age. Nobody wants any disease. Nobody wants to die either, right? So, and deaths, nobody wants it. So these are the real problems of life, and we should ask ourselves that what is real, this real problem of my life? Why am I suffering from this distress? And what is the solution of this distress? Who am I? From where I have come? After that, where I have to go? Who is God? What is my relationship with the God? All these questions we should ask as a human being. Shastra said it is duty of a human being to ask this question and inquire. Animals, these cats, dogs, they cannot ask such questions. Neither they think like that. So as a human being, the intelligence is given to us by God only to find out answers to these questions. That what is, who is God? What is our relationship of God? All these questions many times come through our minds, but so many times, most of the time we neglect and we don't try to find answers to that. But human life means that we should deliberately try to find out the answers. And some people say that, okay, if sufferings are not there, how you are going to realize that you are happy? You know, happiness only you can realize if there is suffering. But that's quite a foolish statement, because suppose a businessman is there, he has a full factory of the wood, then he will take all the measures to prevent the fire in that wood. He will not say, okay, I have earned so much wealth from this business now. So sometimes it's okay, fire is there in the factory and loss is okay. But he will not do like that. He will always take measures to prevent the fire. So it's quite a foolish statement that we sometimes, some people say that both should be there in life and only happiness is not possible. So is this is our ambition of becoming happy, is it wrong? Because so many people keep telling us, it's okay, this thing always will happen, you have to just accept it. So is it unnatural for us to feel that why I cannot be happy? So for any question to find out the answer, we should refer to Shastra. The Shastra says that this is not wrong. It is our original nature to be happy. And in Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, he says that all living beings, all the spirit souls are part and parcels of me. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is full, he is a whole, and we are his part and parcel. And his nature is eternal, full of knowledge and full of bliss, Sat Chit Anand. And we are also, as his part and parcel, we are equal in quality with him, but not equal in quantity with him. Just like an ocean. It's a big ocean, there is salty water in the ocean, and you take out the drop. So that drop of the water will contain all the qualities of the water of the ocean. But if it is kept in sunlight, it will dry up. If it is separate from that ocean in sunlight, that drop of water is going to dry and is going to destroy himself. So like that, if we are separated from Krishna and we try to enjoy ourselves separate from Krishna, it will not be possible. So this everybody is seeking for the happiness, everybody wants to be happy in the world. But what is it that making us feel pain? So even Duryodhan, he had everything in life. But he was unhappy. And like this, many people have different criteria. Somebody feels that if I just have money, lots of money in my life, you know, it's all solution of my problem. And for that, gaining that money, he will do anything. He or she will do anything in life. You know, some people are like that. Just to get lot of money, they will do anything. They cheat people and give up their morale and everything. That's why Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that this world is not a place for a gentleman to live in. Because this place is full of people who are cheated, and those who are not cheated, others are cheaters. That combination is there. And what happens when the money comes? Do they really become happy? They don't become happy. Then some people feel, okay, if I just have good friends in life, you know, I'll be happy. There is an author, American author, he has written a very famous book. It's the heading of the book is Make Friends and Be Happy. But what was his own fate? He committed suicide at the end of his life. So he wrote the book that you just make friends and be happy. But himself, maybe he was not able to find a good friend. Or maybe he felt that he was whatever he has written, it's wrong, and then he committed suicide, you know. Even if it is true, just to find a good friend in life is very, very difficult task, right? Nowadays, to put faith in anybody is so difficult. And just to make that person our own best friend lifelong, it's a big decision, isn't it? Then housewives feel that if I have just beautiful house, I'll be very happy. If a person, a student, you are all in student life, you feel that if I just get distinction every time, the person who gets distinction, he will say, I want above 90%, you know. So this is common. Even SSC also, person who will get 85% will commit suicide because he's not got 90%. So is this really the criteria for your happiness? No, it is not a criteria for our happiness. And ultimately, what everybody feels that happiness means just eat, drink and be merry. This is a slogan. You should do that mean life. Eat, drink and be merry. So we are going to analyze each one of eat, drink and merry. So at a time, how much you can eat? If you are taken to a 5-star hotel and there are 56 bhog, 56 items. Lord eats every day in Jagannath Puri, he eats every day 56 bhogas. But are you able to eat that? You cannot enjoy hardly, maybe maximum 10 items. Maybe some people have very good capacity, you know, some people. I know a person who just in one shot ate 40 gulab jambus. And ate 30 chapatis, but after that what? Stomach upset. Isn't it? How much you can eat at a time? You can't eat much. How much you can enjoy? That enjoyment is very, very momentary. And after some time, the body is prone to get disease. So many diseases now common. In early age also. Heart problem, blood pressure problem. These are the commonest. And diabetes problem. So many diet restrictions. So one cannot be happy by just eating. That is for sure. Then second is drinking. Nowadays drinking is become very in. Drinking and smoking. Isn't it? Become very common in females also. Nowadays there are special pubs only for female in Bombay. The girls who may be among rich class of people, they visit pubs very regularly. And one of my colleague, he was telling me that in Mahalakshmi, yeah, somewhere here nearby, there is a pub. So just to increase the business of that pub, they kept the condition that you cannot come to any pub without a partner. And partner, not a girl partner. You should have boy partner. Then only you will be allowed. That's the condition. So the girls stand outside the pub waiting for somebody to come. And whoever comes, they go with him inside. So just for that time to experience that momentary pleasure where you are just intoxicated, the people are willing to do anything. And be merry, and then any kind of relationship they will have illicit kind of relationships. But that also a lot of problem. They will go through so much mental torture, so much physical torture. So these are the pleasures. These are like scriptures say that they are nectar in the beginning and they are poison in the end. And same thing Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. What Krishna is telling, let us see. He is saying that yehi samsprasha bhoga dukha yonana evate adi antat antavanta kaunteya nateshu ramate buddha. He is telling that one who is an intelligent person, he will never take part in all these sources of miseries which are due to the contact with the material senses. He will never take part in all these things which is beginning and which is the end. These pleasures have beginning and end is there. All kinds of this pleasure, momentary pleasures. So, what is that pleasure? How we can get that pleasure which is everlasting? Everybody should try to seek out answer for this. What is the everlasting pleasure? And we will find the answers to this question only by referring to the Shastras, only by books like Srimad Bhagavatam, books like Srimad Bhagavad Gita. They have these answers to these questions. And we are going to refer to a story which is taken from Srimad Bhagavatam. It is described by Krishna. He is talking to his friend, his very friend, dear friend Uddhav in Dwarka. He was preaching to his friend, and then in that he is telling his story. So Krishna is telling that there is once upon a time there was a country called Avanti, and in that a Brahmana was living. And this Brahman, he was very greedy, very prone to anger, and very lusty. But he was very rich, and he has very good business. But he was so proud that he never respected anybody. Even in his own house, his family members, he never respected. Even the guests will come, he would never respect them with nice words. And he was very hard-hearted. And nobody used to like him. And he was very miser. He would not even give the money to his family to spend like that. And he was atheistic, never believed in God. Who is God? I am not concerned with this person, you know. I don't believe there is any God like that. So he was very rich, and his life was going like this. And after some time, you know, Lakshmi, this money, it's very chanchal. Lakshmi is very chanchal, doesn't stay at one place. So after some time, he went through lot of losses, and some part of his money was stolen by his own relatives. Some part of his money was stolen by some thieves. Then he had big loss in his business of agriculture. The rain did not come, and then he had big loss. Then there once upon a time there was big fire in his house, and then again there was so much loss because of fire in the house. Many things, many valuable things got burnt. And then that was not enough, so government raided his house and took so much of property. So gradually he lost all his property, and he became totally pauper. He did not have anything. And then his family members, his wife, his children and servants who were working in the house, they never liked him actually, because he was never kind and generous to them. So as soon as he lost this money, his all family members, they left him. And he became alone. And he was really, really miserable. And he was in great pain, and he was lamenting. And he was crying so much, started crying so much. And then he started meditating on his fortune. You know, that what is the problem? What has happened actually? He started meditating. And then he got many realizations. And he started speaking. He said that, I worked so hard for this money, but when I got the money, I never used it for the right purpose. And I was so greedy. He said that just like a spot of white leprosy destroys one's for a total physical beauty, you know. One may be very fair, very good features, very good shape of the body, but one spot of leprosy considered outcast like that. So a greed, little bit of greed also is like that. If person has little bit of the greed, then that person will lose all the good qualities. So he was speaking like that, and then he was saying that I have got this human birth, which is so rare, which is even desired by the demigods, and in that birth of human being, I have got the birth of Brahmana, which is so fortunate. But I never took advantage of it. And then he is telling that ultimately I have to die. Ultimately I will come in the grip of the death. And for a person who is going to die, for him, lot of money doesn't make any difference. Even if lot of enjoyment, sense of enjoyment is offered to him, doesn't make any difference. Even many other activities doesn't make any difference. So he realized one thing, that ultimately I have to satisfy Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna. And now I will live my life in such a way that it is only beneficial, whatever amount of life is left, I will live in such a way that it is only for the interest of my soul. It will all, and this way he became very spiritually advanced actually. The person who was very hard-hearted, very miser, very atheistic person, he became devotee of Krishna. And then he became very determined. And then he started roaming around many cities, many villages, many towns. And he became a mendicant sannyasi. And he would regularly perform his spiritual activities. But his appearance was like he was just carrying one sannyas rod and he was carrying a begging bowl. So whatever people would give him in begging, he would live by that, whatever from that. And then he would wear very torn and ragged clothes. And his appearance was very, very bad actually. So wherever he went, people did not realize that he was very spiritually advanced person, but he did not even advertise himself that I am very spiritually advanced person. So many people would ridicule him. When some people would just pull his clothes, some people would take away the begging bowl from him, some people would take away the rod from his hand and throw away somewhere. And people would trouble him so much. And once, just by some people had given him some food and he sat on the bank of the river and he started eating. And somebody came and passed urine in his food. And then that person also spat on his head. But he just remained quiet. Then some people, after some time, some people started criticizing him that, see this fellow, actually he was a very wealthy person, but he was so miser and now he has lost all his wealth. All his family members have left him. Now he's just become a big hypocrite and he's trying to do business in the name of religion, you know. But still he just kept quiet. And he just accepted all these difficulties and miseries as a act of the providence, that he thought that this Krishna God has sent to me and I will not stop worshipping him. This is just unavoidable in my life. And then after that he started singing a song. This is very famous as song of Avanti Brahman. And if we are put in this situation, what we will say? So see, these people are giving me so much trouble. My graha, my planets must be in some wrong place, you know. So I am going through so many difficulties, so many miseries. But what was this Avanti Brahman saying? That his realization was that actually these people are not source of my happiness and distress. And then he said that nor these demigods, devata. Sometimes we feel that in India especially, we feel that devata is very krodha gaya unko, you know. He's very angry at me, so I do some puja and just everything will go fine. But he said that these devatas, demigods also, they are not source of my misery and happiness. Not even this time, not even my body, my past activities, my soul, none of them are responsible for my happiness and distress. So who is responsible? He's telling that it is only my mind which is responsible for my happiness and distress. He's telling that this mind is such a thing, is a very, very powerful thing. It is always controlling all our senses. It is always directing our senses. Go there, go there, go there. Do this, do that. And this mind is very, very strong. It is stronger than the strongest and its power is very fearsome. So, and any person who can control his mind is considered as a master. Actually, that person is actually master. Even Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, he has the same realization. He is telling Krishna that, Krishna, this mind is chanchalam hai mana Krishna. He is telling Krishna, his friend, that this mind is so restless, turbulent, very obstinate and it's very strong. I can control the wind actually. Arjuna had actually power. Suppose nowadays there are so many winds blowing. Rain comes with the wind. And nobody can control. Even the America with highest amount of advanced technology, they cannot control the wind. They cannot control the hurricane. But Arjuna had power to control this wind element. But he is telling that for me to control this mind is more difficult than to control this wind. So Arjuna is telling this, And similar thing Avanti Brahman is telling. But then what is Avanti Brahman is telling after that? That along with this very, very struggling and restless mind, there is something else in my body, somebody else also in my heart. Who is that person? He is telling that super soul, Paramatma, along with this struggling mind is also within my body, who is always witnessing me. He is actually my friend, but I have always neglected him. I never looked at him, but now I will no more do that. I will just fix my mind and I will just perfect my life by engaging in devotional service to lotus feet of Krishna. And he said that this process of devotional service to Krishna is also confirmed by many, many other previous acharyas, many, many great souls, and they have already achieved that salvation. So Avanti Brahman is telling there is no other force in the world except our mind, except our mental confusion, which is our source of happiness and distress. Our mind is always telling us, see, this person is your friend, that person is enemy. And after a few years, that friend will become enemy and enemy will become friend. So we are always listening to our mind and our whole life is rotating on that. This person is my friend, that person is my enemy. So person, Avanti Brahman is telling that person who comes under control of mind can never be happy. And this song, he sang all throughout his life, till he left his body, he sang this song. And then he many, many conditioned souls, he taught this song and he made them devotees of Krishna. So Avanti Brahman is telling that unless you have control over mind, anything else you gain in this world, there is no use. You may become Miss Universe. You may become Miss World. But if your mind is not controlled, then you'll be always unhappy. Isn't it? That actually this Miss Universe beauty pageants, first thing they are taught for when they go for training, that you should always keep smiling. Your face should not be never like this, you know. Always, whether you feel happiness in your heart or no, but you just keep smiling. And whenever that we have seen, whenever we see their interviews, or there is no reason to be happy, but they look so happy, you know. But that actually is not the state of the mind inside, that is not the state of the heart. So, you may get lot of wealth, you may be very, very nicely educated, you may become very famous, but what will happen once you become famous? This is a queue of the people who wants to bring you down. When you make progress in the life, there are always some envious people. They envy you and they always want to bring you down. And that causes you quite misery. So all this thing, Avanti Brahman is telling that cannot make you happy. If that was true, everybody in country of America will be very happy person. They have very, very beautiful bodies. Even the average person has quite a beautiful body compared to India's standards. And they have good education, they have lot of money, they have lot of facilities to live in their life. But we see that even the Hollywood stars, they commit suicide. They, you know, they totally take shelter of the intoxication. Very, very famous heroine, Marilyn Monroe. Everybody has heard of it? Heard of her? She was considered a very, very attractive woman for many, many years. Even when she became 60, she was considered one of the most attractive women. But throughout her life, she was totally addicted to alcohol intoxication. Because she must be so miserable, she just wants to forget that. So, unless your mind is under your control, whatever amount of facilities, money, power, will not give you, and I am going to give you two examples. Both the people from America, who are just about to die. So the one person in America, he's quite a wealthy person, he discovered that he has got a cancer. He has just got 6 months to 1 year to live. And then, so what did he start doing, you know? What anybody would start doing, actually speaking. He decided that what is the use of this money? I'll just enjoy with this money, you know. So every week, he was some different woman enjoying in different parts of the world, and he became very famous. Actually, he was not very famous throughout his life, but when he was going to die, he became very famous. And there were television shows, on television they want to show actually that something different. People always want something different. They get tired of the old things, you know. So there were television shows on him that now this week he is here, he is enjoying with this woman. She's so beautiful, so gorgeous. And this part of the country, this part of the world, best places. But if you are happy in doing one activity, you will never want to do the other activity. So that showed that he was not satisfied with one woman, and then he was always opting for the next. And ultimately he died, and that is forgotten. And then another person, whose name is John Favor. He is by birth, he is American black. And from his childhood, he is a very, very wonderful person. And there was a movement in America for black and white. There was a lot of, like how we had independence movement in India, like that in America, there was movement of King Martin Luther. And this movement was very, very catching this old black people and American people, and then they want, this is quite a revolutionary movement. So this John Favor was part leader in this movement, and in his student days also, in his college, he was a president of his student council. So materially he was very successful. He did psychology, and also he was expert in many other topics like politics and other international law, African studies, many other things. A very, very successful person. And he became also director for the several drug abuse clinics in America. And then he met Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, whose murti you can see behind, Srila Prabhupada. He met this person, and then his life changed because he became devotee of Krishna. And person about whom I am speaking is not any other person than the person who is in the big photo, which is on the other asana, is His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He became very, very dedicated disciple of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And then he did many, many great things actually. He was a spiritual consultant for many, many celebrities in America, for many, many people in United Nations. And he would, he was a specialist in interpersonal relationship and conflict resolution. And he was carrying out many, many seminars and many, many lectures on many, many topics like stress management and interpersonal relationship, conflict resolution. And he was given a chief, the Medal of Chief in 1990 by Nigeria people for working so much for Africa and other countries in the world. And he also met Nelson Mandela for many, many times after that, for how they can improve the peace in African countries. So he was such a renowned person even after he became a sannyasi. So materially and spiritually he was very, very successful. But just 6 months back, he realized that he's got cancer in his skin, which is called melanoma. And there was a tumor on his foot. But what was the state of his mind? His state of mind was very, very similar to this Avanti Brahman. That his state of mind was that this is totally unavoidable, and this is mercy of Krishna. God has sent me to this to me. And God never makes any mistake, because he loves all his children, and he cannot do anything else which is not good for his child. So he's saying God has not made any mistake. And just by this realization, he was inspiring so many people in spiritual life for 6 months. And just, and he actually in last 6 months, he gave many very, very inspiring lectures, and many, many devotees were inspired by that. And then at the end, he gave up his body on just this Monday. That was which date? 27th of June. He gave up his body. And how did he leave his body? There was always Hare Krishna. He was not in the state of his state of the body was not that he would chant Hare Krishna. So there were people who were chanting Hare Krishna around him, and he was very happy. He never looked morose. Even the doctors, when they were treating him, they felt that we have never seen such a person, you know, who is so happy. He's got cancer, and actually his tumor became so bad that ultimately, to prevent the further spread, they had to amputate his foot. Suppose you have to undergo the amputation, what you will feel? Any ordinary person would feel that I have done so good for the society. I have never done anything for myself, and why God is doing this to me? But that is not the truth. That was not the realization of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. He said that this is a perfect for me. And then he was always very happy. Very, very jubilant, and very, very, actually very, very effulgent he was looking. So we can decide amongst these two Americans, one who was just trying to enjoy women, money and everything. Ultimately he died. But what did he leave for the world behind? And what did this person leave for the world behind? So we can decide ourselves that who is better happy person. And why Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj had such realization, Avanti Brahman, why they had such realization? Because they had this bhakti, devotion to Krishna in the heart. And don't think that you cannot get it. Actually this bhakti, devotion to Krishna is in everybody's heart. All of us who are sitting in this hall, it is in everybody's heart, but it is in dormant stage. You have not given enough circumstances for that seed of bhakti to grow. You know? So if we just give a chance for this seed of bhakti in our heart to grow, bhakti to Krishna, devotion to lotus feet of Krishna, then we can also experience the same thing, happiness. Why? Because we are just like we said that we are part and parcel of Krishna. We have come from actually Krishna. And Krishna, he has his own planet, which is called Golok Vrindavan. These are the spiritual kingdom. What we say in Christian language, they say God's kingdom. Where there is no misery. And we all have come from that kingdom actually, in just trying to enjoy ourselves. But if we just turn ourselves and just look at Paramatma in our heart, then we will find that happiness. We just need to look into our heart, and there we will find happiness. And Srila Prabhupada, he preached this philosophy that please become devotee of Krishna and realize your actual position, which is to become devotee of Krishna, and then you will be happy. And this philosophy is spread all through the world, and so many people he inspired, and so many people are enjoying life. They will enjoy this life also, and they will enjoy in the next life also. He introduced this process of chanting Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada said that what is this process of chanting Hare Krishna? He says that this chanting of Hare Krishna, anybody who chants the name, this mantra, Hare Krishna, that person immediately comes on the transcendental platform, and that person will feel happiness. Anybody who will engage themselves in devotional service, anybody who will engage in themselves in this kirtan of the holy name, who will hear the pastime of the Lord, we have that personal experience. Whenever we do that, we are very happy. So, and we are, once we do this throughout our life, at the end of our life, we will go back to Krishna. If we do not practice this process, then there is very big question mark that what you will become in the next life. The 84 lakh species of life, and this human birth is a chance we have got actually to go back. Suppose there is a hall, somebody you want to enter into hall, and there are 84 gates, and then you are knocking on 1111 gate, but you just forget to take advantage of the one gate from where you can enter the hall, then what will happen? It's our own mistake. You have to be more attentive, right? Huh? So like that, this human birth is like that. From this, after getting human birth, by becoming a human being, Krishna is giving us chance to go back to Him. So that all these basic problems of life, birth, old age, disease and death, we will never have to experience again. So, because anybody who takes birth will have to undergo old age, will have to undergo disease and ultimately will have to die. Okay. So, Srila Prabhupada said that please chant Hare Krishna and be happy. And what did he mean by please chant Hare Krishna and be happy? He said that just by chanting Hare Krishna, that stage will come when you will be above all the problems. These problems will not affect you. So we are all requesting all of you that please, if you are not chanting, if you are chanting already, then please continue chanting with attentiveness. And if you are not chanting till now, please take a chance. Just take a try for 1 month. Please chant and see what you experience. And then you can decide yourself. So this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the mantra we chant. It is meant for Kali Yuga, actually. And Prabhupada said, please chant and be happy. So thank you very much for your kind attention. You all have been very, very attentive. So anybody has any question or query, we can try to answer.
Anybody has any question? If you have any doubts, get them cleared now, because later even you'll forget what doubts you had.
I have a question that, you are saying that we'll have cancer, we'll have this. But at present, I'm very happy. Why should I think that I will have cancer in future, or I have this problem, that problem? I'm very happy. I don't want to think negative in my life.
So I'll give you one example of a businessman. Suppose you are earning a lot of money. So that person will say, okay, I'm earning a lot of money, Okay, bahut acha, very good, But what will an intelligent businessman will do? He'll invest that money in something where his money will grow. It will grow and grow and grow. Right? So many people say that right now I am very happy. I have no problem. But actually, there are many other problems, small problems. You are suffering from that. But there are no big problems. But this problem of old age will come to you. If you are a 16, if you are 20, right now you are enjoying your teenage, nothing will happen to you. You have a very healthy body. But just wait and watch what will happen after 20 years. That misery is going to come because Krishna says, why it will come? Because Krishna says this world is dukhalayam ashashvatam. Ashashvatam means that temporary. And dukhalayam means dukh and alay. Alay means we say now that sadhanalay, this house. And dukh means this is house of misery, this material world. If you are not experienced today, you will definitely experience tomorrow. So what should an intelligent person do? That intelligent person will do such activities by which he will never have to come to this world again, and he will keep enjoying in the future also. Suppose you are happy right now, it's fine, you enjoy. Nobody is telling you, just be miserable. You are happy, but no, I am not happy. No, don't sit like that. We are not saying like that. But that person will invest his time and energy in something which will give him eternal happiness in the future. and there is nothing else in this world and next except that, except the devotional service to Krishna, which will give you eternal happiness. This happiness in the material world is very temporary. Sometimes, just like we said, that two sides of the coin. Sometimes happiness, sometimes misery. When we are happy, we forget that we have gone through the misery. But we have gone through the misery. And misery also doesn't come that I am coming, just be ready. It just comes, you are not prepared. So just by performing devotional service to Krishna, you are investing your time and energy for the future life. The body which you will get after this, giving up this body, just like Srila Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, why he did this? Because he has now gone back to the spiritual world. What is spiritual world? Vaikuntha. What is meaning of Vaikuntha? Kuntha means misery and Vai means nil. In that place where there is no misery, everybody is very happy. Misery never comes. Actually, in the material world, we cannot even conceive that there can be some place like that where there will be no misery. How it can be like that? But it's just like that Srila Prabhupada used to give an example of a frog. Suppose a frog is there in the well, and then some other bird comes to him and saying, outside is so big, you know, you are living in the well. Outside there is a big ocean, there are very big lakes, beautiful lakes, and such big rivers, nice, you know, beautiful waters. But the frog will think, maybe ocean, you know, is 4 times, 5 times bigger than this well. No, frog cannot conceive. So our condition at present is like that. So how to get that knowledge? We have to get that knowledge. Because we are in ignorance, we are thinking like that. Our condition is like that of frog who was in ignorance. He doesn't know that there is something else also outside. So like that, the spiritual books, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, they describe that there are material planets and there are spiritual planets. The spiritual planets where there is no misery, everybody is very happy. We cannot believe it, but it is there. Just like you have commerce books or something, you are studying. And some things you have never seen, but you believe, right? Some things you have never experienced. This economics ka ye formula and commerce ka ye formula, you don't understand, but you blindly accept. Why? Because the authorized teachers have written those books. Isn't it? So like that, there are authorized spiritual teachers who have written these books and they are teaching from these books. The temples like this, they are like colleges to teach this spiritual knowledge. Like how we have for our material knowledge, they are just teaching us how you can get a good degree, then get a good job, earn good money, have a better facility in life, be happy. So like that, these temples are spiritual colleges where you are taught that you do the activities which will make you happy eternally. And if we just do that, we will experience that. If we don't do, then if we say, theek hai, dur se dekhte hai, kya hota hai, you know. But if there is a bee, there is some insect outside the honey bottle, he has to go inside the bottle to taste the honey. He cannot taste from outside, just be outside and just see, observe. You cannot taste like that. You have to go inside. So we have to follow this process and everybody will experience this, that there is happiness which is not temporary.
Ma'am, I have a question. First of all, I apologize for being late. Madam, being in spiritual world and experiencing spiritual world, I have some contradiction in my mind. May you please clarify it? Being in a particular profession, sometimes you may have to take such decisions that it may be affecting the people very adversely. It may be a wrong decision. You may have to sometimes cheat somebody because it is favorable to somebody else. So doing this, and along with that, chanting the mantra which you said, how far will it be justiciable, first thing? I mean, second thing, even attaining Krishna consciousness, there will always be a question in your mind that for one way I am doing something wrong. Other way I am chanting Krishna. How far is this justiciable? And is there any solution to that?
Yeah. So many of actually there's a big example of Arjun that he was also actually grahastha. He was not a sannyasi. The person to whom Bhagavad Gita is spoken is he is not a sannyasi. He is not a sadhu. He is not a brahmachari who is just sitting, means who is just preaching, who is living in temple, who is not involved in any jobs. He is not like that. Arjuna was a family man who had children, who had wife, and he has to fight for his purpose. And then who had in who he had in front of him? He had his own teacher, the person who taught him the whole Dhanush Vidya. Arjuna was supposed to use that whole Dhanush Vidya against that person. Okay, but why did he do that? Why did he fight? First he gave up all his weapons. He told Krishna that I cannot do this. It's just not possible. It's against my moral. That person who has taught me, I will do something harm to them. But Krishna told him that they are on side of adharma and you have to kill them, kill this adharma. So you have to fight and by this you will please me. So the crux of the whole thing in spiritual life is we are doing all these activities, chanting Hare Krishna, doing many other activities, coming to temple, offering prasad to Krishna, just eating prasad, not eating, not involving ourselves into illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, meat eating. We don't do all these things. Why? Because it will be pleasing to Krishna. The whole aim in all this practice is just to please Krishna. And how will you come to know whether you are pleasing Krishna or no? You have to take guidance of somebody who has already realized that stage. If you are doing under guidance of the spiritual master, this is Guru, spiritual master who has realized Krishna, who has realized the spiritual world, they just come here just like Prabhupada. He had realized spiritual world, but just because he wanted to uplift so many people like us who are in ignorance, we don't know anything about the spiritual life. Nowadays that culture is going worse day by day. So Prabhupada just preached this philosophy of Krishna consciousness for everybody to awaken. And then many, many disciples he had and he guided everybody's life. And now they are all successful spiritual devotees practicing in Krishna consciousness. So the point is that in our many jobs, many times in our jobs, we have to engage ourselves sometimes. But if in our heart we are, in our consciousness is clear, Krishna is looking at your heart actually. With what conscience you are doing that activity? Are you doing that activity to harm that person? Or are you doing that activity just because you have to do, just because you are in that position to, you are forced to do that. And if you are sincere, and you are sincerely chanting Hare Krishna, because this chanting Hare Krishna is the main process in Kali Yuga, if you continue to do that, Krishna will transfer you to, he will put you in some other place where you don't have to engage in that. You have to pray to Krishna, because ultimately he is the controller. Do you get the answer? Thank you.
I wanted to ask you that what if we have been told by an astrologer or a person who predicts your future that this particular line is good for you? We might not be interested and it might maybe reap more benefits. But according to, for example, me, I don't feel I might be good in that line. I feel I can be better in doing a service or something like that. That gives me more satisfaction and happiness. Salary is not the constraint. So, I mean, should you believe the astrologers or do you have a free willpower to make your own career?
Yes, this is a good question. Astrology. Everybody is very fascinated by this subject of astrology. I was always also very fascinated.
Because usually if you are having your father's business, you'll go and you'll be advised to follow that or something related to that. But for example, if somebody is not feeling that, you might gain success in that. with your own belief, you feel you'll be do better in service than in a business.
Yeah. So, I will just answer whatever I have read from Srila Prabhupada's books. He says that nowadays, first of all, to get good astrologer is very, very difficult thing. Just find out what is the, how much that astrologer is bona fide actually. Huh? Because any astrologer who is doing this for business purpose, actually he doesn't have that potency. That's what Srila Prabhupada says. Even Srila Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was a very learned person. He became expert in Bhagavad Gita by age of 7 years. Srila Prabhupada's guru, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he was also a very, very good astrologer actually. He studied the planets. Actually, these planets, they do make difference on your life, your situation in life.
They say, like, there are different pujas done for planets. Like, for example, there's something called Rudra Puja or something.
Yeah.
It's for the whole soul nourishment and all, not only minor problems in your life. So, does it affect the planets? Do they change?
If the bona fide person is doing that, then.
But see...
But Krishna consciousness... is the final answer to that in the way that like all these demigods, all the planets, they are created by Krishna actually. Supreme Personality
so
of Godhead.
So they say to make the demigods happy, I mean do they change the positions of the planets?
Yeah, there are many other Vedas written where things are written that if you do that, it will change. But that will change for some time. Ultimately,
whoever the Maharaj or the saints are, they'll do the puja. But what about the black magicians? I mean, does their black magic work on planets? Does it ruin a person's life?
It does sometimes.
It does, and there's.
But if you're just chanting Hare Krishna, nothing can affect you. That I am giving you, writing on paper, 100% guarantee.
That if
because ultimately Krishna is controller of all the planets. That is what Srila Prabhupada says. When you become a devotee, what happens to you in your life? Prabhupada said that when you clap in kirtan while chanting Hare Krishna, your lines will change. It will not change like if the line is like this, it will not become straight like that. But how it will change? It's a very subtle science what Prabhupada is teaching. That by chanting Hare Krishna, what is the power of this holy name, what you are chanting, you should know. That it can eradicate all the sinful reactions of your past. If you don't do that sinful activity again. So that is why we are chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna himself came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years back. And he introduced this chanting of Hare Krishna. And he did big Sankirtan party. He used to chant in big gatherings of the devotee. And when you are chanting alone, there are a lot of benefits. But when you are chanting in association of the devotees, that time all your sinful reactions get eradicated. So these small pujas are there, but many times there is a big doubt that how bona fide that person who is doing the puja is. That person himself cannot give up smoking, drinking. That person cannot himself give up tobacco chewing. And he is claiming that just by doing some puja, he will make your demigods happy for you. You cannot believe in such a person who himself doesn't have control over his senses. He cannot give up. So, please take the mic.
Huh?
Please take the
My mom is an astrologer,
yeah.
So she says that what is going to happen is definitely going to happen. By doing all these pujas, what will happen is that you will become strong to face it.
Yeah.
But it's not going to change, it's definitely going to happen.
I also know many astrologers, and I also, many of my family members refer to astrologers because they have problem, you know, which you don't know what step to take next. But that astrologer, that same astrologer, he is not a devotee of Krishna, means he's devotee of Krishna, but he is not member of Krishna consciousness. But he says one thing, that this bhakti is the only solution. Your worship of Narayan, Vishnu, worship of Krishna is the only solution. There is no other solution to your problems. And if you do these pujas and all, you will get strength, as what she says. But if you just follow devotional process, everything, all good qualities will come in you. Because by becoming Vaishnava, the quality of tolerance, quality of forgiveness, quality of being good to others, quality of kindness, be merciful, all this will come automatically in you. You will not have to do any extra effort to develop these qualities. So this chanting of Hare Krishna, Prabhupada says, is a very simple process actually. Even a child can chant Hare Krishna. There are many other processes, yoga and all, you sit in dhyan, you meditate on one point, but child also cannot do. But this process of chanting Hare Krishna, introduced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and which is preached by Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, is very easy process. Anybody can do. You can do it any time of the day. There is no restraint on the time. You can do at any place, wherever you are there. And Krishna will be pleased with you if you just do that. So,
then one question answer? Then one more question.
Yeah.
This question has come in writing. I may agree with you, but all my friends are trying to enjoy in different way, like watching movie and other thing. So I feel scared, you know, if I start chanting, then all my friends will start leaving me, you know, and I'll be back.
Actually, I have also gone through the same thing. You are not a new person. So you will be happy that Kishori Mataji, who is sitting here, gone through the same thing. Sita Mataji, who also gives very frequently Chetna classes, she has also gone through the same thing. All of the speakers who give this Chetna class, they've gone through the same thing. So don't worry. You are not abnormal. Normal. So this is going to happen, that some people will ridicule you. This is a test given by Krishna, that how much you want him in life. To get something good in life, you have to leave something. Isn't it? If you want to study and become a good, suppose I am a doctor, but I had to leave many other things. I had to just study. I just with one point of determination, I had to just study in my 12th standard. I used to sleep at 8 o'clock and I used to get up in 2 o'clock in the morning, because when morning time, very quiet, nobody will be there. And I used to study, because homework will not get over during the daytime. By the time I would reach home, 7, 8 o'clock, I am so tired, I can't study. So I used to get up early in the morning. So there are many austerities I did just to get that degree of MBBS. And after that, to get MD in anesthesia, I had to work day and night. Sometimes for 2 days, I will not sleep. So in material world itself, you have to give up so many things to gain something. So what to talk of going to spiritual world? You have to sacrifice something. But don't worry, if these friends leave you, Krishna is seeing you and he'll give you much, much better friends than them. This is I'm telling you by my experience. I hope person who has written the question is satisfied. Because once you take one step towards Krishna, He will take 10 steps towards you. That is 100% guarantee.
Thank you very much, Kalindi Mataji. We really are very grateful to you that so wonderfully you have told us how actually we can really be happy by taking up devotional service in our life. So please let us all thank Kalindi Mataji by loudly chanting, Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
So I thank you all very much actually, because I also remember my college days and how I used to come here, and now I have experienced so much happiness that I want to share with all of you. That's why I'm speaking here. Okay, thank you very much.
Before we start the kirtan, there are a few announcements that we would like to make. On 8th of July, that is Friday, we have a Jagannath Rath Yatra conducted at Meera Road by Radha Girdhari Temple, and the Rath Yatra starts at 2:30 p.m. in the afternoon. So all of you who ever are interested can please come for this Rath Yatra. And the second very good announcement that I want to make is that we have this Learn the Art of Baking. That is, we have a small workshop on cooking. And this is going to be conducted on 16th July, which is a Saturday. And it is going to be conducted by our very, very expert, two expert cook. And one of them is Radha Priya Mataji, and other is Radha Rani Priya Mataji. And they both are going to teach you different varieties of baking. And this is going to be conducted on, as I said, 16th July from 2 p.m. onwards. And the registration is being doing down from where you registered for the Chetna, the same place the registration is taking place. And the registration fee is only 25 rupees. Only 25 rupees. And it is going to be conducted down in the Bhaktivedanta Hall. And please take the maximum advantage of this. Whoever goes today for registration, first come, first serve. You'll get into the batch. Or else you'll miss. So please try to take the maximum advantage. Register yourself today. And to know more details on it, please contact Sita Mataji downstairs. And
two to five. It will be mostly getting over by 5 o'clock, 4-5 o'clock. 2 to 6? 2 to 6.
And you'll get all the details down. And the next Chetna is going to be on 13th of August. And her grace Sita Mataji is going to give the lecture on attitude of gratitude. Okay, now we should start with Kirtan.
I'll just give one word on this Jagannath Rath Yatra. This is also a process of, if we involve ourselves in that, this various, in Krishna consciousness, we just don't sit at one place and chant Hare Krishna. Prabhupada introduced many, many, many activities by which we can just enjoy. He said that in Krishna consciousness consists of three things, chanting, dancing and feasting. Outside world also, if you just feast, people want to enjoy, they would dance and they would just eat good, you know. So Jagannath Rath Yatra also, like how there are many lakhs and lakhs of people going to Jagannath Puri to pull the Rath. The same benefit you will get by pulling of the Rath at Mira Road on 8th of July. So please come as much as whatever time, it will be starting at around 2:30, 3 o'clock and maybe it will get over by 6 o'clock. And the Rath, devotees are themselves going to pull the Rath. There is a big cart on which Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra they have put, and the devotees themselves pull this cart. There are hundreds and thousands of devotees who gather, and please take the benefit of it. So now we'll start the Kirtan. Harmony.
Next Chetna is on overcoming depression instead of attitude to gratitude. Sorry.
You will just see that how just by chanting and dancing you can enjoy, experience happiness. It's very heavy. Le le, burka. Anuradha ko bula. So, Kamal Manjari, she will explain you how you should dance. There is a particular way of dancing which Srila Prabhupada has taught. And after some time you can dance the way you like, but beginning...
Okay, when Mataji is chanting, that time all of us will fold our hands like this. Please, everyone stand up.
Oh, most important thing.
When Mataji is chanting, everyone will fold their hands like this, Namaste, Namaskaram type. And we all should close our eyes and concentrate on the chanting of the holy name. and pray to Krishna that we can Hari Bol. And pray to Krishna. Our right leg should cross our left in front, and our left in front of our right. Simple, hai na? And then when we are chanting, raise your arms up like this, both,
like this, right.
If somebody is doing hands up, how will you go up? Like this, right? Similarly, all of us should raise our hands up and loudly chant the holy name and call out Krishna, you know. Just imagine if you are just, if you are in some place and somebody is just following you, and how will you call out for your friends? Hey, come, come here, come here, come here, come here. Similarly, just loudly chant the holy names of Krishna so that Krishna should hear and come just next to you.
So we are,
right?
We are starting the kirtan at perfect time. In 2 minutes, curtains will open. Radha Gopinath, Gaunitai, Gopalji, they all are going to give you their beautiful darshan. So please turn towards them. And when we are chanting, please take shelter of the holy name. Just how Draupadi, she asked for the shelter of Krishna when she was in difficult situation. And Krishna took care of her. So like that, if all of us also chant like that, Krishna will definitely reciprocate.
Namo Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta, Swami Nitinamine, Namaste Saraswati Deve, Gauravani Pracharine, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyatya Deshatarine, Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadeva.